Scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from the Gospel of St. John, the first chapter, beginning with verse 19. Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would now strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Back in 1994, the movie, famous movie, Forrest Gump came out. And one thing that was unique in that movie was old footage of President John F. Kennedy as if he was now shaking hands with the actor in Forrest Gump. And it was really one of the first times of what we now refer to as a deep fake, something that AI has started to perfect. To fake us out, if you will, taking some old footage of something and actually being able to manipulate it in such a way that it looks present day. And some people are very concerned about this ability to be faked out as far as witnessing in court. And there's some laws that are even being crafted to try to help protect us from this. It's very easy for us sometimes to be fooled. And this technology allows that to take place. John the Baptist is the special messenger that God sends ahead of Christ's public ministry, and he's sent to prepare hearts. And really, the work of John is to get beyond in us what is fake, to get beyond what is potentially fake in our spiritual lives. And John's message was always this, that God can see beyond any hypocrisy that we may have in our hearts. And that's certainly been displayed to us throughout the pages of Scripture. We think of the story of Cain and Abel, and God clearly could read Cain's heart. Even though they both brought a gift, his was not accepted. King David, when he falls into the sin with Bathsheba, he thought that all of Israel was unaware and had been fooled by his sin. But the Lord knew better and sent his prophet Nathan. We think about Judas, Jesus' disciple, in the Garden of Gethsemane, coming up and giving him a kiss and greeting him as if he was on his side and favorable to him. And yet Christ very clearly could see through all of that. So God can certainly spot hypocrisy in people's hearts. And we can sometimes be tempted, I know I can, to kind of put out an outward facade about ourselves that people would see and appreciate, especially in the Christian community. And at the same time, maybe be harboring things in our minds and hearts that we should not. Many years ago, when I was a young pastor, I had a family come to me because their daughter, who was also a member of the church, was cheating on her husband. And left him now and their children, and was now living with another guy. And they asked me to go confront her about her adultery, which I did. And in my discussions with her, she didn't like that I was talking to her about her sin. And I said to her, "When you come to communion, I'd ask that you would come and repent to me beforehand, before I give you the Lord's Supper, to make sure that your heart's truly penitent," and which she wasn't. And she said, "Well, I'll just go to another church." And I said, "Well, you can go to another church, but God is the same God. You can fool me, but God is the one that really you need to be paying attention to." We're tempted to come in our lives with kind of this outward glow of our own piety and sometimes even point out the evil and wickedness that's around us in the world, as we should do too. And yet, the primary issue to God in regard to me or you is really what's going on in your heart. What's really happening in our own minds and hearts. And if we are not truly penitent of the sins we have before God, that's really the primary matter that God wants addressed. And that's why he sent John the Baptist to prepare people for the coming of Christ. This is not child's play. This isn't something of goofing around with toys. There's a sharp warning in here from John, and that's true for all of us through all time, to make straight the way of the Lord. And so John's invitation is that you and I would come before God with a true and honest heart, acknowledging our guilt, and to really, really bring that before God. There was some of you heard me tell this before, there was a tribe in Africa years ago that used to catch monkeys so that they could eat them. And they would bury a gourd inside of kind of a little well about the size of a basketball, but they would put a gourd in there about the size of a baseball with a tight, they would pack the mud at the top so the monkey could get its hand in and grab the gourd, and it would refuse to let it go until it died. And they would come and gather up these monkeys. So what is my heart right now grabbing that I need to let go of that could spiritually kill me? What are you possibly grabbing in your life and in your heart that could potentially kill your faith? God is warning us here as we get prepared for Christmas that the preparation of our own personal hearts and our own consciences is so important. And God would have our consciences and our hearts be melted by his grace and by his mercy, by the fact that his Son is coming into this world to be our Savior and our Redeemer from all the sin, no matter what we're holding on to. And God calls upon us to let go and to have life in his Son. John made it very clear that the ministry God had given him was not about himself. Now, he had great popularity as a preacher. We're told that throngs went out to meet him. Listen to what Luke says. They came from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. And we know that he became a threat to the religious leaders of his day. We're told Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to go out and question him. He was obviously causing enough of a stir that people were really flocking to go and hear him preach. Even the non-Christian historian of the time, Josephus, writes this about John, about his popularity. Now, many others came in crowds about him, for they were very greatly moved by hearing his words. But notice that despite all of these numbers of people coming to see him and to hear him, despite all of that, the spotlight was never to be on him or anything that he could offer. The true preacher of God's word is never to be focused on his own popularity. The attention must always be on the coming Savior. And God's method of preparing hearts, even though John the Baptist lived at a different time and ate strange food to us and dressed strange to us, God's method of preparing hearts doesn't change throughout time. It's interesting that we refer to him as John the Baptizer, John the Baptist, drawing attention to the very way that God brings his grace and forgiveness to us so beautifully in the waters of baptism, putting his name on us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, making us his dear children, cleansing us of all of our sins, clothing us with the righteousness of Christ. I always love in my freshman religion class when I go through probably about 20 passages about baptism, just to see how grace is coming through each one of them, the forgiveness of sins, the variety of ways that God describes the gospel to us and what Christ does for us in the waters of baptism. And this is now how God ultimately prepares our hearts for the coming of Christ. And so in the same way that a surgeon must make a cut in order to bring healing to someone's body and potentially save their life, so it is with the proclamation of God's messengers who prepare the way for Christ. They first of all must cut into our consciences and our hearts And that's what God's law does when it identifies the things we might be holding on to that are contrary to God's will. But that's a necessary work, but it leads to the greater work, the more important work, and that is of the wonderful Savior that we have and the grace that he's come to bring us, the forgiveness of our sins, no matter what the thing is that we've been holding on to. That God wants all of us to know that in Christ, in this little child born in Bethlehem, that each one of us has a precious Savior whose goal it is to take you and me ultimately to heaven. May God in this special sacred season continue to prepare all of our hearts for the celebration of our Lord's birth as we look forward to the ultimate culmination of his work someday in the mansions of heaven. Amen.